Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
Can you explain to us what organic agriculture is?
Well, organic agriculture is a production system that has been developed over the last, let's say, about 100 years, and mainly has its origin actually in that moment when the industrial inputs started to become very strong in agriculture, and especially the inputs of mineral fertilizer, mineral nitrogen. That is when organic agriculture started, because farmers started to notice changes in their land that concerned them when making use of these new inputs. And today you can say that this production system is very much concerned about the health of the soil. Mm-hmm. And with a healthy soil, you have healthy animals, and with healthy animals, you have healthy people.
Exactly.
It's very much about the health of these soils and the ecosystems living in and on these soils.
Yeah.
Essentially, you can say it is the way of farming with nature. And many people say, yeah, it's a step back to the old way of farming, which in some way might be a perspective to look at yet. But I think, before, things were very much done out of a tradition, and because people were used to do it that way. I think today that is much different, because organic agriculture really requires a good knowledge of what is happening in the soil, how are the cycles in nature working. And I think that is much different to what agriculture was before, let's say, 100 years.
Now, could you explain the different pillars involved in this type of farming?
I think the main pillar, as I mentioned already, is soil health.
Yeah.
That is really the main focus, because On a healthy soil, we can produce healthy crops, whether they are for human consumption or for animal consumption. Then from that healthy fodder, you have healthy animals, and you create a whole healthy agro ecosystem. And that directly, of course, has an impact to the consumer, to the human that is consuming these products.
Yeah.
I think health in general is one of the main pillars of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we achieve that by building soil organic matter, creating a soil that is strong against erosive forces like wind and water,
mm-hmm.
and that is full of life. And if I say life, I mean soil microorganisms that really make up a healthy soil and increase the water holding capacity, increase the resilience of the soil. If you talk about temperature extremes or whatever it might be, it's a much stronger system. And I would say also another pillar is that organic agriculture takes very much into account social, cultural, and economic dimensions.
So then take us through the challenges or problems that can arise when making use of pesticides.
Okay, so the pesticides are an unnatural, non-natural input into a natural environment,
mm-hmm.
that comes from an industry. And the problem with these pesticides is that the pesticides don't only kill the target pest while you apply it.
Mm-hmm.
They kill a lot of other organisms in your agro ecosystem that actually are very important. And so specifically the microorganisms in the soil. And these microorganisms are so vital for the health in your soil. So then you keep killing actually those organisms that are very important for mm-hmm. the health of your ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, how nature works is if you control one pest, then another organism will take that place and will also develop into a pest by itself. It is a cycle of destruction that you cause that is not ending. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And in the end, you have a loss of biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today, we are all very aware of the need of biodiversity for this planet. And we can't allow ourselves to cause a loss of biodiversity. Yeah. And I think with pesticides, that is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, of course, is that also today with the methods that we have, we can really prove that the residuals of those pesticides show in the fruit and vegetables that we eat, that we consume.
Yeah.
And they are chemical constructions that are really problematic to our health.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the consumer that is exposed to those residuals, and it's also the people on the farm that are exposed to working with those chemicals that also, of course, are confronted with this risk of being exposed to those chemicals.
Yeah.
And a lot of various chronic diseases that we have in our society today are caused by these residuals of chemicals.
Yeah.
And diseases like cancer and Parkinson's disease and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is a big cycle that we create, a cycle of problems that we create when we make use of pesticides. I think many people are not aware of that.
Now, could you briefly describe the concept in mitigating vulnerability to climate-related shocks, such as drought?
Well, as we in organic agriculture focus so much on the soil health, we are building a soil that contains more organic matter. And with that, it has a much better water-holding capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So if we talk about drought, then we talk about a soil that can provide water to the plant for a much longer period.
Yeah.
Allows for more plants to grow on that soil. And that means the soil is kept alive and that plant grows, the soil that is covered, it is protected by the plants and the organic matter lying on top of the soil in form of mulch.
Mm-hmm.
That soil is protected also from temperature shocks and especially then also the microorganisms in the soil, if they work right, then they are quite resilient to temperature shocks. And I think temperature fluctuations going to extreme degrees is a concern that we really are facing in Namibia.
Yeah.
So I think the main point here again is biodiversity. You know, if you have a biodiverse system, and that is what we can observe in nature, if you have a biodiverse system, then that system is very resilient to all kinds of shock impact from climate change or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Now, explain the difference between organic and commercial agriculture.
I would say organic agriculture is a sustainable way of farming for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of farming with nature. And conventional agriculture is very much input intensive farming. It needs a lot of input from different industries, including the pharma industry. Mm-hmm. And these inputs mainly are needed because you're working in a system that does not apply the principles of nature, and therefore you need to fight the reactions of nature all the time with those inputs.
Mm-hmm.
While organic agriculture is much more knowledge intensive, so you are actually using what is on the land, and you need the knowledge to adapt your knowledge and to implement your knowledge and your practices in your farm.
Now, can you describe the feeding and production process?
So in organic agriculture, ideally, animals are fed only with what's available on the farm.
Yeah.
So it's to avoid the environmental cost of transporting. A lot of animal feed is today transported over oceans and the whole planet, mm-hmm. and causing a lot of environmental problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not always the case. Because sometimes it's just not feasible. And so animal feed needs to be brought in from other farms. But under organic production, you need to feed your animals with organic food feed.
Yeah.
So, also, if you bring it in from other farms. And I think what is very important in the feeding process is that organic animals are not fed with feed that contains genetically modified organisms, mm-hmm. or GMOs. as as the whole issue of genetic modification is a very questionable thing if we talk about sustainability and contamination of those genetic materials into nature. And most of the time they are grown with a lot of input of herbicides. I would say that in the organic feeding and production system, you're also looking very much at what does the animal really need, and not only to push the animal to their limit of performance.
Exactly.
Where they really live on the verge of actually not managing that push off for performance anymore,
mm-hmm.
but rather feed the animal in a way which is appropriate for that species and for the well-being of that species, for the natural well-being of that species.
Now, in terms of grazing, can you tell us more about the grazing process at Krumuk?
Yes, so Krumuk employs a grazing system of plant grazing and combined herding. That's what we call it. So it's a rotational grazing system. And with this system, we try to copy what nature has been doing in the course of evolution and what the grass plants in our landscape actually have been adapting to over hundreds of years. And that is a system where you have a lot of grazing pressure, high grazing pressure for a short while,
mm-hmm.
because you had, in the old times, you had these huge herds of antelopes grazing the land, and they would come in and have put a high grazing pressure on the land, and then they would move away again.
Yeah.
And they would be quite bunched because of the predator pressure from outside.
Mm-hmm.
They would be quite close together and graze the land and then move away again because then the water would be scarce and they would go to other areas and they wouldn't come back for a long time. So there would be a long resting period for those plants. And that's what we are trying to implement or to copy in a way. And we do that by herding our cattle. So the density of predators is today not so high, so the cattle are not so close together anymore. They tend to go quite far apart.
Mm-hmm.
So we have herders, three herders there that keep the cattle together, and during the day they graze the cattle and they go to the water, they come back in the evening, and for the night then the cattle are kraaled in an electric fence, and this kraal is moved every day. So it's every day a new kraal for the cattle. And in this kraal, you, of course, have a very high input then, hoof impact on the soil. A lot of manure is left on that ground,
mm-hmm.
and you really increase organic matter in this small area. But that will then be a potential then in the next rainy season to have a lot of growth on that land, and we can actually observe where the fence was, where the electric fence was, because there the plants are growing much more dense and much more vigorous.
Yeah.
And so that is our system of grazing, that we have a rotational grazing system, and we don't allow so much selective grazing. We try to prevent selective grazing, because the problem with selective grazing is that the cow can roam freely around and only eat those grass plants that she wants. She has a lot of space to choose from.
Yeah.
And then she will always eat the good grass plants, the high quality grass plants. And so you are overgrazing those grass plants and they will vanish. And thereby the quality of your rangeland is constantly degrading.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we try to prevent this selective grazing. Yes, the cow also needs the possibility to eat what she needs, because she knows exactly what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And if she has a problem, then she knows exactly, oh, I need to eat that herb now because that will help. So she needs this possibility to roam around and find what she needs. But we limit that selective grazing period in a day to a short time, so that really all grasses are grazed, and the biodiversity in your rangeland is kept at a healthy level.
Now, you did mention biodiversity. Could you explain the biodynamic part of the farming process?
Yes. So biodynamic agriculture was found pretty much exactly 100 years ago, and it was also one of the beginning movements of organic agriculture. It was one of the ignitions, let's say. And today, organic biodynamic agriculture is a form of agriculture, you could say, that goes beyond organic because it takes into account even more aspects of your ecosystem and what is around it. And also, it is very much concentrating not only on sustainability, but on actually regeneration. Mm. Because we as humans, we really need to care for this planet. Mm. And we have taken this planet to a point already where I think sustainability alone is not enough. Mm. We need to regenerate what the soil and the life in our soil. Mm. And in biodynamic agriculture, we have different preparations that we use, that we produce from the product on the farm. So we have like cow manure and different herbs that we use and so on. And there's a certain process of producing these preparations that are then applied to your land which you are farming. So we can't now apply them to the whole farm because that is too much area.
Yeah.
But we apply them to the fields and to the gardens and to some areas that we are harvesting grass from. So in the production process, the main aspect are these preparations that we are using.
Mm-hmm.
And also that we see this whole concept of seeing the farm as an organism is very important in biodynamic agriculture, that you really say your farm is an organism and every animal, every plant, the soil, everything in there is like an organ mm-hmm. of the whole organism.
Yeah.
And only if all organs function well and you have a lot of interrelations between all the organs, then it is a living organism and it's a healthy, resilient organism. Mm-hmm. That is one of the core ideas of biodynamic agriculture. Biodynamic agriculture takes ecological responsibility very seriously mm-hmm. and also social responsibility. So the human is part of that picture. It belongs into that picture and the soil, the plants, the animals and the humans must have a healthy environment where they can thrive.
So then how do you foresee organic farming in Namibia going forward?
I think organic farming has a great potential to grow in Namibia. And I think it will be taken up more and more by farmers, especially because consumers will also become more and more aware of the benefits of organic produce.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a shift towards that. And especially with health issues coming up in the society, people will get more and more aware of the problems with the pesticide residues. And so if the consumers are becoming more aware of the long-term negative impact of conventional agriculture, there will be a demand for organic agriculture. And in Namibia, we have not very much intense conventional agriculture. Most of Namibia's land is farmed quite extensively, which is already a step towards organic. It's not organic yet, but I would say the conversion to organic, it's not such a big step for Namibian farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something which underlines the potential for organic agriculture in Namibia.
Yeah. So then what services are available at Farm Kromok?
So Farm Kromok is, being a biodynamic farm, a very diverse place where a lot of different things are happening. We have several production lines and I would say our aim is to produce healthy food products for our customers, and that is vegetables, that is meat products, that is milk products, that is products from our bakery, quite a wide range of products, and we sell those on the green market in Klein Windhoek every Saturday morning and Wednesday afternoon. That's the days in the week when we are there, but also from has a lot of activities here going on here on the farm. So, yeah, we do offer accommodation, and then you can do farm tours. We also offer a game drive, or I maybe call it a scenic drive.
Yes.
You can go camping. We host events like birthdays or weddings, and we try to be an open farm. Because we have such a large variety of things going on the farm, we try to be an open farm where people can come to and see what we are doing and see what organic or biodynamic agriculture actually is.
Yeah.
And one of those events where we try and do that is at the Coffee and Cake. That is every second Sunday afternoon People can come to the farm, have a nice cup of coffee and a delicious piece of cake, and enjoy the landscape and have a walk on the farm and see what we're doing.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.